This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Stick shifts and safety belts, bucket seats have all got to go when we're driving. In the car, it makes my baby seem so far. I need you here with me, not way over in a bucket seat.
All right, you know, you don't need to be in a bucket seat. You don't need to be in a rumble seat. You don't need to be in any other kind of seat. As long as you're here with Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our guest in the studio today, Mr. Bob Jones from the Long Island Oldsmobile Club. Gentlemen, how are you all doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Ray.
Excellent.
Good morning, Chris.
Ah, how are you, Chris? Again, yes. Yeah, we're doing good. We're going to talk about, of course, we're here to talk about the Oldsmobile show from last week, which was a raving success. Bob, you've been doing that show for how many years now?
Well, I believe it's our 45th annual. At first, it started off as an Oldsmobile-only show.
Okay.
It evolved into an all-car show. And that's what I really like listeners to understand, that this is an all-car show. So we accept all types of cars. I mean, it still has a, you know, hosted by the Oldsmobile Club, a good percentage of Oldsmobiles, but there are far more other cars than just Oldsmobiles at our show.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I had participated in that show many years ago, and that's where I learned, that's where I adopted a lot of my judging stuff from, was from your show. Chris, you with us?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes,
I just wanted to make sure.
I'm listening along.
Wanted
just
to make sure
you could hear me.
Yes, that's what I was waiting to. That's what I was waiting to see. You can't.
Bob, I'm actually looking at the pictures on the Fort Towns Fireman Training Center Facebook website, and I have never seen so many tornadoes in one place.
Yeah. Well, holy, there are a lot of tornadoes. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a good percentage of tornadoes, you know, from the 60s and into the 70s. We were missing the ones from 83 to 85 at this show. I think they made them between 80 and 85 or 79 and 85.
Yes.
But, yeah, we you know, it's one place where you do get to see a different car and different types of cars.
That's true. Bob, I know I've asked you this question before, but what got you into Oldsmobiles?
Well, my very first car when I was 16 was a 65 442. I dragged it home. Yeah, I dragged it home, and my dad came outside, and he looked at it, and he said, well, you have a Mopar hood scoop, you don't have any mufflers, and your car is jacked up 2 feet in the back. So
perfect.
He said, if you want to keep this car, you'll change the hood, you'll put some mufflers on it, and you'll pay for it and insure it yourself.
Oh, that's wow. A good codicil, right?
And by the way, I still have that car.
You still have it? Yeah. Was it at the show?
No. It's one of those projects that's never really gotten done. The last time it was on a registered street was in 1978.
Wow!
But I have a couple of other ones, so I did have a driver that I used.
So, what car did you bring to the show?
Well, I brought a minivan because we We have to
an Oldsmobile silhouette.
Yeah, we don't. Those are out there. I hadn't seen one in a while. But you know, bringing the tables, the chairs, the coolers, the tents. You know, all kinds of good stuff.
And that was the Oldsmobile that I did have. I had an old silhouette minivan.
Yeah, there you go.
So listen,
yeah,
if you want to,
Ray had a one door.
Well, later on, I got T-boned in it, right, and it collapsed it in. But if you want to talk to Bob, talk about the show or any other topics, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440 and get in on the phone, get in on the fun on the phone, and we'll be happy to tell you all about the intricacies of car show. Here's your chance to get into the brain trust and the inner workings of now. We may not tell you everything we know. You know, we probably won't, but we'll tell you something. We'll tell a few lies and a few stories, and we'll have fun.
Well, but I just have one. Let me just start this off with a question, Bob. Okay, the show was done last week. When do you start working on the 2023 version of the Dust Off?
Well, honestly, we've already started. And I have to tell you, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into any car show, especially a fully judged show with partners, and especially the North Belmore rinky-dink drill and race team. So they host along with us. It's their facility or one of the town's facilities there. But we actually do start now. We're building our mailing lists. We're adjusting our flyers. We're looking to see how we can make the show better. We have a committee that'll meet in a couple of weeks, and we'll make recommendations and changes to the president, Tommy Walsh, who may be able to call in. I don't know. He was kind of busy today. But other than that, we're always looking to make things better.
So you come here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you come here, and that's we'll see if that makes it better or not. I don't know. But, you know, at least we'll get the word out. Chris will hear about it, so we'll be okay.
Yeah. We have people coming in from Connecticut, Chris. So
really?
Yeah,
that's
we
awesome.
Have Fusik Automotive Products. They're out of East Windsor. They're on our field for years and years. So, you know, they're a premier restoration parts, 51 years of making parts for Oldsmobile, Buick, and they did have some Caddy stuff, which they're, you know, they're kind of phasing out the Cadillac stuff. But yeah, they have Olds and Buick.
Now OPGI has taken on a Cadillac line, believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's we had Bob Giroux, I think. Maybe, I don't know if his first name is Bob. I know his last name is Giroux. And we had
it's
him on.
It's not Al Giroux. Right?
No, not at all. We had him on Playing in Traffic, and that's how we got him here a couple of years ago. And he told us that, yeah, they had expanded their line, and now they're doing like Riviera stuff. And, and you know, I ordered the catalogs. They're thin. And it's like dress up, and, you know, it's. And that, maybe that's the growing, like get your foot in the door and then grow from there by, you know, go by demand. I haven't seen a recent catalog to know how much more they've gotten in there, but it's certainly not a Chevelle or Mustang GTO catalog. Bob, how's it for like 442 stuff?
It's great. Okay. You know, I have 64 or 5 vintage, you know, 442s, that era. It's very hard to find parts and things for those. But if you look in Fusik's catalogs, they have a Toronado catalog. They have a 442 catalog, 64, let's say, up to 72, maybe.
Okay.
And then they also have full-size cars. I think they go from, like, 36 to 60. And I believe they have one other catalog. They have 4 catalogs, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But the parts, high quality, availability. They partner with us all the time. We're really the only car club show that they go to. They'll do the Carlisle,
really?
The Hershey, the Homecoming in Lansing, and things like that. But, you know, they're on the road a lot, and family people, and they do a great job. And you know, they have to pick where they go. And we're very, very fortunate because they picked us many years ago, and they continue to support us. And as Ray, we had this conversation, you know, like when you went to Ames in Englishtown. We give them the orders ahead of time, Buick, Olds, anybody, save the shipping, pick it up at the show.
Yeah.
They just makes it super
That's
easy.
Great. I'll do this, Bob. I'll do it through you because I don't have a contact with them. If you'd like to get in touch with them post-show, And if one of their reps would like to come on this show to talk about what they do and get the word out, they're more than welcome. We love having manufacturers and suppliers on. So,
hey, maybe they can go right over to Chris's house. And,
right. We'll do it.
They're
we'll
right there.
Chris's basement.
Right. Drop it all off right here. Not a problem. I've got shelves.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, because we like to have, we certainly love having people from the industry on the show to talk about. So, yeah, that invitation goes out and to all people. You know, I think we've been turned down by groups like that, Chris, twice.
Once.
Now I think it's twice, which was amazing to me, you know, and other, because other people would kind of, I don't know, and I'd have to schmooze them and explain to them how we do the show and why we, and then they would lighten up and say, oh, okay, because they think you're on radio, they think you're Howard Stern, you know, and that's really what everybody thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I explain to them that we're not and have them listen to past shows, and they say, okay, you guys are in this for the right reason.
Mm-hmm. So, right. When they listen to past shows, then you couldn't get a hold of them anymore.
Well, that's when the phone was disconnected. But aside from two people, two places that I won't name, everybody else has come on, and we've had a great time. So if they,
this is something I could definitely work on. I've been up to see them. They were at our show. We have a great relationship with them.
Sure.
The parts that they have are like I say, the 442 catalog's very thick.
Right.
And when you get into the later models, the 68 to 72s, you know, you can get different types of parts that you really can't get for the earlier ones, but they're there.
Tell them they have a chance to become number three. So let me ask you, I just saw on one of the social media feeds this week, a guy that sells a lot of parts, a set of lightning rods for like an 83, 84 442.
Yeah.
They were like, I was asking like $700, $800 for these things. Is that commensurate with what the hobby bears?
It seems to. I mean, I had an 84 Herstals for a couple of weeks, and it had the lightning rods in it, and it took me that long to figure them out.
Yeah.
And then,
just please describe what the lightning rods are.
All right.
We know what they are.
Yeah, so the Herstals, or in this particular case, in the 83, 84 Herstals cars, the Cutlass Salon, which was turned into the Herstals, there are three rods that stick up from the center console that you would shift. And I believe that was probably a race shifter concept.
It basically, I want to show you a picture. It basically is what the Lenko shifters used to be. Chassis John is going to put in one of his cars, and I should have a picture over here I can show you.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was three individual shifting rods that came out of the console instead of one stick.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they work, Bob? Well,
if one is good, three has to be better.
Yes. Well, I'm easily confused, so it's funny, right? And Chris, you mentioned that. When I did sell the car to a gentleman that actually drove the car directly to South Dakota from Elmont. Or actually West Hempstead. And he called me when he got on the other side of Manhattan into New Jersey. He wanted to get some gas. He says, how do you put this thing in park? how does this work? But he made it to South Dakota without any issues or whatsoever.
Okay.
And, you're using the different rods. You know, some of them are, the reverse and forward and so forth. I actually don't remember the three.
Okay.
Though, because, as I said, I didn't have the car very long.
Yeah, yeah.
But the gentleman really enjoyed it.
Sure. No, those are nice cars. And, then, like I said, I saw that. I think, that is a very specific part. So I actually had a shifter, an automatic shifter out of a 442, and it was a Hurst, the Hurst stick, and I had that for years, and somehow in my parts stash, it's either so buried I haven't seen it in years, let's put it that way, which is not surprising when you look at my parts stash.
Right, right. Well, the dual gates are great because I had that in the car I just sold, the Driver 65, and that was really unique because you could shift it if you wanted to, or you could just put it in drive.
Sure.
And I believe it was probably out of a Pontiac, the 68 somewhere
that's where
around
they started,
there.
Yeah.
But they put it in my car before I bought it, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't race around on the streets, obviously, but it is kind of unique that you have a feature like that.
Right.
And you get into those 68 Pontiacs, and I think the Oldsmobile, I forget what, I think they had it for 2 or 3 years, too. Very, very popular.
You know, out of the Oldsmobile Club, I'm looking at some of the cars, and they're so unique. Like, there's a 75 Hurst Olds here pictured, mm-hmm. and some of the early 70s Cutlasses and the 442s. They're really pretty. What is the most, or what is a featured car in your club, Bob, as far as what is the most unique or one of the unique cars that one of your members have?
Well, we have a woman by the name of Karen. And she owns a 66 Delta 88. And this was a car that her father bought new. And she was, I believe, probably driven home from the hospital in.
Oh, wow.
And she's got the car. And it's a three on the tree with a high output 425, which is about 360 horse. And it's a white car. And it was the one that we, you know, as I mentioned to Ray, we give out the dash plaques. In our giveaway bags and so forth, and that's right. The one we did the dash plaque on this year, and the car is just fantastic in its condition and its rarity. Three on the tree, and Ray, I think you put something out not too long ago about a 69 Impala.
It's actually it's not an Impala.
Bel Air.
It's a Bel Air. It has two taillights on each side and rear, not three.
Oh, right. Okay.
But same thing, big block. Three in a tree. The only option is the big block. It had a two-barrel carburetor and a single exhaust. So the guy must have wanted, maybe he was in the hills of Pennsylvania and wanted the torque. I don't know.
Yeah, torque.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of them, Chris. I mean, we've got others that are quite unique. I mean, there's a fellow friend of mine, Don, has a 67 W30, an original one that basically there were only 500 of those or so. And so that's a really unique car and an excellent condition car. And matter of fact, I don't remember the model company, but the model company took his car just before he bought it, took it away for a month, and they developed the model. It was an AMT or I forget which one it was. So his car, when you see that on the shelf, is a red car, I believe white top, and it is actually his car. So the previous owner who did send this to the model company thought, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do pretty good when they bring this car back. I mean, they're really going to take care of me. So when they brought the car back to him, he got 6 free models.
Wow.
And that was his payoff.
That's cool. That's cool.
That is cool. Wow. Yeah, yeah. When you said it was a W30. What distinguishes a W30 from the regular Cutlass line? Or I know it's an option package,
right?
But
very
what
rare.
Does it entail?
Very rare cars.
First of all, let me ask you a question. Interject. Does the W stand for something?
Oh yeah.
Well, the W I think is just a code because the 442s from 65 up. They were W-29s,
mm-hmm.
but nobody really refers to them until you get to 68 and you get all the W cars.
The reason I ask is I was just asked when talking about Corvettes, you have the C1, C2, C3, and I was asked, what does the C stand for? And I said, the Corvette. Yeah. I don't know. Chris, do you know? I really do not know what the C Yeah, it was a code.
I automatically assumed it was Corvette. The C was for Corvette. That's what I assumed. Yeah,
because
I've never heard. I mean, we've been car guys for a long time. I've never heard the C1, C2, C3 designation until maybe like the last 15 years.
Yeah, you know, it was always there among the purists. They always used it. The average mortals among us would call them a 63 or a 59 or a 72.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
well, now everybody says when they're talking about GTOs, hey, is it a real 242 car? You know, somebody latched on there on a data plate in 66 and up that it had a 242 code. So now is it a 242? That means, is it a real GTO?
Right,
so again, speaking the lingo that the factory used, and now, you know, people are sounding smart.
Yeah. Right. Still it sounded like we know what we're talking about.
Still morons.
hey, we had them fooled for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, the W30, what did it entail, Bob?
Well, you had a hotter camshaft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had a little bigger exhaust. But what was unique about those cars, not only were they limited production, so to speak, or even when they became more popular, you know, there's probably 1,000 each year. I don't have the exact numbers, but the W30 was a hand-built engine, which was balanced and blueprinted by somebody at the factory.
Dr. Olds.
Yeah, Dr. Olds, the crazy guy.
Dr. Olds.
And that was just not a 400 that came off the line or a 455 that came off the line. They were definitely higher output, higher horsepower, probably a little underrated.
Just like everybody did, you know, Pontiac did it with the Ram Air cars and Dodge and Chrysler. They did it with the, you know, with their higher miles. Everybody was doing that game. Chevy did it too, of course. They all did that. So, yeah.
And they had red fender wells.
Right.
Man, why?
You know, it worked because to this day, everybody wants those red fender wells.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, you know, Bob being a brother and having a Pontiac for as long as, pretty much as long as he's had his old, we were always the bastard children at the car shows and in the parts stores. It's like, oh, yeah, one of you guys. Yeah, if you didn't have a Chevy, a Ford, or a Plymouth, you were. But it shows you can have perseverance and stick with it, and, you know, and your day will come. People will recognize your stuff.
You know, it's funny. You guys are on an iceberg that's slowly melting around you because if you think about it, they're not producing Oldsmobiles or Pontiacs anymore. So you've gone from unique to really unique.
Yeah. You know, our friend Cliff was asking about the SX option on the Cutlass, optioned like a 442. He says they use that to trick the insurance companies, like Chevy did with the Heavy Chevy, and Pontiac did with the GT37, and Plymouth had the Satellites.
Oldsmobile had the Rally 350.
The Rally 350, right. That's a Buick, by the way, not an Oldsmobile.
No, it's an Oldsmobile.
That's yellow. It was all yellow.
Oh, wait a minute.
All yellow.
The Buick was, I'm thinking, I'm confusing my marks. Yeah, Buick had the GS.
Buick was the GS.
Right.
Buick didn't offer an economy muscle car.
Yeah, you could buy like a Skylark, but I guess, I don't know if you could option it with the bigger engine. But anyway.
Probably could.
Yeah. Yeah, that SX was a great car because you got a 455 and just like a 442 outfitted in a Cutlass, and they were it was only a 2-year car, and it was the Cutlass Supreme with that more of a square type of roof, and you could get it originally with a 455 2 barrel, and they put like 278 gears in it.
Oh geez!
And you could get on the highway, but what happened was later in the model year they went with the full 4-barrel 360 horse motor.
Yeah.
And it was put into a car that had no 442 designations. Mm-hmm. It looked just like a Cutlass Supreme, and it had SX under the Cutlass.
You know, back then, we all know that's how the insurance, when the insurance thing hit in 71, 72, all those cars were now being sold for pennies on a dollar because the insurance rates jacked. That whole stigma went on, as far as I know, into the 1990s. And I'll tell you how I know. I bought my BMW motorcycle in 1999. So we're talking fairly modern era here, right? And I went to insure it. I had a Harley Davidson, so I was going to switch my insurance. And the girl gave me a price that was high. I'm like, what? I'm like, wait a minute. No, something's wrong. And she goes, oh, well, no. I said, what are you basing that on? And the model of the bike happens to be a K1100 LT. And, oh, actually, before that, I was looking at a different bike. I was looking at an R1100 RS. That's what it was, the Boxer. I said, and she goes, well, basically, she goes, well, because it says RS. I was like, yeah, what does that mean? And she goes, I said, and I interrupt her, I said, basically it means more insurance money, right? I said, but why? And she didn't know. She goes, I'm just going by the sheet. I said, let me explain to you what it means. The first R means it's the R series or the Boxer line. The 1100 is the CCs of the engine. And RS means it's their, like not a full touring mode, but like a half touring, half normal street bike with bags and a windshield and ABS brakes and fuel injection. And she's like, wow, really? I'm like, this thing is far from being a rock. But she was going, we dialogued it, and she said, well, the Japanese bikes, the Yamahas and Hondas, anything that had an R in it, like an RS 1100 or, you know, any of the, you fill in the make, were the really hyper fast, hyper potent street bikes that were, you know, we all know what they sound like down a parkway at 4 a.m. And that's what the insurance company based their designation on. I said, well, someone's got to change that because this bike is not a race bike. It's a two-cylinder, and it's a touring bike.
Well, you know, it's funny because, as I said, my dad told me I had to insure this car and pay for this thing myself.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned because I was insuring it in 71, 72. By that time, the insurance companies were after those types
of
cars.
That's right.
But in 65 and I think 66, they were Cutlasses with a 442 package. And when I called my Allstate agent, I told him it was a Cutlass 442. And he says, no, it's not. It's a Cutlass. I don't see a listing in 65 for 442.
Right.
So I had super good insurance rates way back when I was a kid, when I probably should have been paying twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was
right.
Lucky.
Well, just like with me, with my GTO, the GTO in 65 was an option on the Tempest. It was Tempest and Le Mans in GTO. So it doesn't show up as a GTO. It shows up as a Tempest or Le Mans. So, you know, you get a, I don't know if I've got a cheap rate. You know,
I do remember as a kid reading an article about some individual that owned a Ford Cobra, a 427 Cobra, and he insured it as a Ford convertible.
Yeah, 65 Ford. You know, Bob, we have another question.
Right.
We have another question from our good friend Billy G, Billy Velvet, who does the Malba show. And he's curious if you look to change up your show or tweak it as time goes by, or do you stick to one idea and just, you know, stick by your guns? Because he's thinking of his own show and what he may want to do.
All right. So that's a really good question, because we have a couple of guys in the club that are very traditional in our show and what we've done, especially the date, because everyone knew for many, many, many years, probably 30, 40 years, that our show was on the first Sunday in May.
Right.
We have had to change it because of COVID or a rain out, or this particular one, Tobey was going on the same weekend we were going, so we moved it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the date is one thing. The location is another. Special classes for Oldsmobiles, because it originated as an Oldsmobile show.
Mm-hmm.
There are special classes just for Oldsmobiles, but we've incorporated other classes for all the other different cars in general classes.
Okay.
And so it's really the date, the venue, the classes.
So those are fixed.
Those are fixed. We try to stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
How we try to upgrade the show is we went to a sponsorship model about 2 years ago, and we have great sponsors, Hollywood Motors mm-hmm. in West Babylon, Fusick Automotive Products in East Windsor, Thornton Muscle Car Restorations out of Quakertown. We have Merrick Collision,
mm-hmm.
Kenny and Joe there.
Right, good guys.
D&P Auto with Phil. So we have some really, really good sponsors.
Sure.
Kappa Radiator.
Bill Carberry, our good friend. You should talk to the guys at D&P, because they just took over. They bought what was the old Merrick Fur Company, where people would start. Maybe you can get a really cool set of seat covers. Maybe.
Yeah.
They might have some leftover stuff. You'll get some chinchilla.
Not to tell any secrets, but Phil's a great guy there, and you know, it's a great place to buy a late model car. But he's got a nice collection of cars.
Oh, he has them on the second floor.
But he's got them somewhere else, too.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
But a couple of them you'd really like.
Oh, we'll talk about that,
yeah. And this year, you know, the last 2 years, we've gone with a live band.
Right.
And we are using the Long Island Humbuckers.
Which, Chris, was the band we had at our 10th year anniversary at Freeport Auto Wrecking. That was friend Pirate Paul got those guys for us, that they wanted to just get out and play. So they did it. And I have to say, Bob, just to throw it out, some, of course, we always talk about, you know, unashamed, unabashedly, what do you call it? There's a word, but I can't think of it. If you guys in the future ever want to sponsor with the show through here, HBC will gladly.
Oh yeah, great.
You know, I mean, there's a small fee involved, but they'll play. I'll record the commercial, because I did the Tobey one, and they will hit this. It'll hit a couple hundred times.
Yeah,
and of course, that
would be wonderful.
Just to throw it out for the future, if anybody else you know doing a show, they want to advertise
to our 9 listeners.
Right, but it goes out. I see, but it goes out also on the station on all the other shows. So. Right.
Yes.
So when they get Rob's 5,000 listeners or 5 million, whatever it is, then, you know, then you...
Yeah. One other thing with, you know, I think it was Kenny at Malba
mm-hmm.
we were talking to. The other thing we tried pre-COVID, which kind of we had to stop during COVID, of course. We lost 1 year in the show, but we did a kids zone, and we did a blow-up, basketball shoot, face painting, clowns, and we tried to get the families involved. And we had some really nice comments from a couple of women that had their own hot rods or own classic cars, and also people that would bring kids. Now the kids have something to do as opposed to waiting. We also, it's a fully judged show, and that's something we haven't moved away from.
Mm-hmm.
People still and from what I can see, still love to have a trophy in front of their peers.
Right.
We give out a lot of trophies, and I think that part of it, people wait until 3 o'clock, 2:30. They stay the whole day. They wait for that trophy presentation, and they like it.
I like to bring my trophy down to the pier and just sit and look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll show you the trophy when we get back. I'll show you the trophy that I was awarded at the Malba show, which I think was one of the pièce de résistance trophies.
Wow.
It was like it was right up my alley. If they asked me how to make a trophy, that's what I would have said. So, Bob was talking about waiting. I've been waiting too. Chris, don't make me wait any longer. Do we have an honor group of the hour?
Well, son of a gun, Ray, is that? As I cough my way through this, yes, we do have a Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Every week we sit down and honor some bunch that I like to point out, and hopefully everybody will agree. But in this week, if you are tired of seeing the same type of vehicle on the road, here at the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, have you ever noticed that people drive the same types of cars, but they're always one particular model that looks like it's everywhere and that you just can't get away from them? Personally, where I am up here, there is an abundance of those Honda CRVs, especially around the 10 to 15 year old models. I mean, they're everywhere. It's the chick truck that everyone is driving up here. Everywhere you turn, shopping centers, driveways, bobbing and weaving in the fast lane. So if there's a multitude of minivans mutating, an abundance of Audi A4s all around, or a flood of the Ford 150 bro trucks soaking up your airspace, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour if they irritate the bejesus out of you.
You mean you don't see triads of TR4s on the road just zipping down the Merritt Parkway?
Trickles of triumphs.
Well, while you're in your triumph, and if you happen to be in one on Thursday nights at 8, tune in your FM radio discronificator to this station where you can hear Emo Afterglow, something that Bob and us listen to all the time. We get together and listen at the pier with our trophies. And where they play the, because you know, they play the best pop punk. Say that a few times into your microphone. Right.
Without popping your peas.
Right. Rock, alternative and emo music for back-in-the-day fans as well as modern newcomers. Artists include Green Day, the Foo Fighters, the Killers, the Modern Acts, and modern acts such as All Time Low, Paramore, and Mayday Parade. So
I love the Modern Acts. I have all their albums.
I know you do. And some of my friends, I think, are part of the Killers, but for another reason. Yeah. We can't get into that now. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We will be back in a few minutes on Motormouth Radio. And keep it where you got it. We're going to do a little topical out for this song session from one of my favorite artists. And we'll be back with more on 90.3 WHPC.
Some people, let me tell you some news. I sang a song called the Crude Oil Blues. We're low on heat on, we're low on gas. And I'm so cold, I'm about to freeze myself. We got the Crude Oil Blues.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motormouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motormouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motormouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff.
of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever
done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor mouth radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Well, what am I going to do if I can't sing and dig? He said, well, just keep yourself warm playing on them hot legs. We got the crude oil blues.
Yeah, we all got the crude oil blues, don't we? Yes, I figured that would be a good topical little refrain for our mid-show break today. Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web, on Twitter, and on, what's the other one, on Facebook at Motor Mouth Radio. And on Instagram at @real_MotorMouthRadio. And you can see what we do and put up. My CD isn't ejecting. So anyway.
I thought you were going to play like Rocket 88 or something.
You know, you read my mind. I was going to open with Rocket 88, and I have a copy on this disc. The problem is the way I don't, it's a recording from like the 50s. And the way it starts, it's like a kind of a long lead-in. And like we would all know the song. But I don't think anybody else would be that familiar with it.
It's supposed to be the first rock and roll song, technically. And it's a really great song.
You know what? It is. And since we're talking about it, we have to preview it because I have it. I have it here. All right. So here is Rocket 88. And you can call in and tell us if you knew this song. All right. Got that little honky-tonk piano. Bob's playing right now. He's a keyboard and a keyboard. Yeah. Chris, stand-up bass, very good. But now you got this lead-in that's... I mean, you could skip past this, but then that kind of kills the song. But here we go.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88.
So that is a really good swing boogie. You know, as musically, I love it because I'm a music guy, and I think it's a great song. I'd like to hear a newer version where they clean it up and like Brian Setzer. I'd like to, or the Humbuckers.
The Humbuckers
would do Rocket 88. I would play it on this show. So listen, Humbuckers.
We're going to get Steve Malfetta to do that.
If you guys record it, I will play. I'll use it as an intro song. So
Speaking of Rocket 88, I'm looking at some of the pictures. You got a 56. It looks like an 88 convertible in the picture, and there's a 57 as well. And there's a 62 Starfire, which is awesome. Bob, what is like some of the older Oldsmobiles you have in the club? Is like anything? Is there a curved dash in
the club? Well, there was I know there's a gentleman that brought a Rio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A Rio. I think it was, 2 years ago or when we had that show, I think it was a 28 Rio. He has one or two of them. And I think he brought a Rio to this last show. I didn't get to stop and talk to the gentleman, but because I was, out on the field doing our things. But there was a Rio. And we used to have pre-war cars like all the time, and unfortunately, we don't get as many of those as we used to.
And obviously, Rio is Ransom E. Olds,
right.
who created Oldsmobile, and then was just my history may be a little cloudy, but he was ousted out of Oldsmobile.
All right, I saw that on the History Channel show, The Cars That Built America.
Yeah.
But here's one that I don't remember. Let's really test your memory. What does the E stand for?
Oh, holy smokes.
Oh, Bob's going, I know it.
Yeah, it's something strange.
It probably is. Elva or...
I'm going to cheat and look it up. But,
Chris is my oracle of useless information and bridge building knowledge. He knows all the bridge dates. But when he doesn't know something like that, I celebrate because he usually knows all of that stuff.
No, it's Eli.
Eli.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Ransom Eli Olds.
So now I want to play Eli's Coming from
Three Dog Night.
Right. Yeah, and I believe Ransom couldn't use Oldsmobile, so that's why he used Rio.
Okay,
and of course, remember all those Rio trucks, 30s and 40s.
Very
and,
popular.
And all of that, yeah.
Very popular.
Was actually, I think Henry Ford was at Ransom's, the Oldsmobile factory, and picked up a lot of really neat things that he, when he brought the Model A out and really went into that production.
Uh-huh.
Oldsmobile was, I believe, the oldest car company for mass production. I may be wrong, but I think it was 1904 mm-hmm. or something like that.
Now, that was around, that's brass era days, correct?
I know,
I'm not a history of that. I'm not a child of that history.
Yeah.
I know that there's a brass era. I don't know the year range. Chris, do you know off the top of your head?
Brass pretty much stopped anywhere between 1913 and 1916.
So it was the early 90s. Yeah, so it was the O's, the 1900s. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Rio had a very famous truck called a Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Hence the band.
Hence the band.
That's right, REO Speedwagon.
That's where they got it.
Right.
Yeah.
True. That I did know out of the cranium here. I didn't have to look that one up, unfortunately.
Right.
Like, just proving my worth here on the show as the master of useless information.
Right. For sure. Right. And, yeah, I see it, Bob. You get kind of programmed to do this stuff. You see it coming out of, I don't know. We have a call. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths and Bob from the Olds Club.
Yeah, my name's Bill. I'm not doing any brake lines today, though.
Bill is the original. Bill, we've been talking about you in the last few weeks as the originator of the Motormouth Radio curse, where your brake lines are concerned.
That's right. There is a guy in the neighborhood, you better sit down, about 10 years ago, he was putting a 350 small block Chevy into a full-size 56 Olds. It's a four-door. I'm not sure if it's a sedan or a hardtop.
That's because the original engine is so expensive to rebuild. I sent Chris a link a while ago, Bill, of a guy that had a 61 or 2 Caddy, and he had a small block Chevy in it. And Chris was like, I saw the vomit on his keyboard. I wasn't even on a Zoom call with him. And
yeah, well,
I said
well,
it comes
this
down to
guy ran into some trouble getting the correct exhaust manifolds, clearance on the driver's side with the power steering or steering linkage.
Right.
Maybe the steering box, whatever. Now, that car has been sitting there for 10 years.
Wow.
Untouched.
I will tell you, some of the cross-pollination swaps that I've done in my career, which aren't that many, and they were all usually kind of within family groups, you know, within the A-body lines between exhaust usually is one of the hardest things to overcome. Usually is. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Now, I don't know if anyone in the club may be interested in looking at that. I think the only other item wrong with the car was maybe a cracked windshield.
Okay.
That's certainly fixable.
And the car is local, like as in Freeport?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. In Mineola.
Oh, Mineola. Okay. Wow, nice.
Yes, if you can send Ray the information.
Yeah, Bill, if you could email some information to me, I'd be glad to pass it along, and maybe you can find a new owner who can pick up the project and finish it.
Yeah, we can put it on our club website.
I know for certain that 350 engine came out of a running vehicle that he had.
Right.
And it has been in a garage the whole time. I haven't been over there in about 5 years.
So basically is ran when parked.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if the guy's been answering the front door lately.
And what year is that car again, Bill, did you say?
56.
56, that's what I thought you said, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that 350 was from a 73 Malibu. It was a old lady special.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, all right. Yeah, send me some info, and I'll put it to the proper channels, and we'll see if we can find a new one. Because that's the thing. Just like when cars sit, Chris, we talked about this before the show, you want to find them a new home, maybe not yours, but someone else's. And the same thing with something like this. There may be a guy that has a 50s-era old engine looking for a home, and plop it in there and backwards engineer it back to the olds, and there you go. So, yeah, excellent. We'll be happy to help out.
I know he had something made up with respect to the motor mounts. I think they were that real early Chevy, like that pin type.
Well, the early Chevys didn't use middle mount. They used a rear. It was a front mount, and then they used – there was, like, no transmission mount. That's, like, in the Tri-5 Chevys. So Hurst came out with the cradle mount that you could put.
I think he had some kind of brackets made up at a machine place.
They probably welded on.
And they had these almost like these old Chevy, I'll call them like a donut mount.
That's like the early Chevy mounts, or like I said, like the Hurst cradle mount used pins with donuts. The same idea, yes.
Right,
looks
right.
Like a horn,
and
like
I
a
think
horse's
he had
horns.
A radiator, and he was all set to go, whatever happened, something with the exhaust manifolds. I think he ended up with two or three different manifold sets.
Yeah, sure.
And none of them quite fit.
You know, we know a guy, our friend Justin, up at All American American Gasser Hot Rod Shop up in where are they, Chris? I always forget. In up north of us, up north of Ohio. Damn, I always, what can I tell you? This is what I do.
Yeah.
I get stuff.
Yes.
Michigan. They're in Michigan.
Michigan.
Justin now makes headers out of, like you see guys do on TV. Well, he does it live in that shop for all sorts of engine swaps in cars, and he's done a few recently. That's right, Bob. I want to show you that video he sent me later.
Yeah, Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah, so there are guys, talented guys out there now who have taken that segment of the hobby and run with it, and so that may be an option as well, just have something made.
Yeah, and I would figure if any engine, would have gone in one of those vehicles, it would have been a small block Chevy.
Sure. Oh, well, yeah, it's the universal donor. It's like type O blood. It's the universal donor.
Wait,
even in my Pontiac back in the 70s, my 389 seized up, and I'm like, all right, now what am I going to do? I need an engine. Well, I took the 283 we had laying around. I think Tom had it in the Nomad, and I'm like, you know what? 283 in the car. There you go. Put a Chevy in it. And then the funny thing about that was,
if you get any of these people with the old Buicks, I ended up with that, what the heck is it? It's a 47 Roadmaster straight 8.
Yeah.
Ooh, fireball.
It was one owner. The only negative, there was something when the guy, I know where it came from, but the original engine had some kind of problem early on, and the dealer replaced it.
It was a service engine
the first year.
It was a service motor, right? So it had a service block in it, right? That I had a 96 Impala.
Right, so
if
somebody's vaguely interested in that, unfortunately, when I got it, the guy started to neglect it. The gas tank rotted out.
Mm-hmm.
And it may also need a radiator.
Yeah, nothing lasts forever. Rust never sleeps.
Mm. Yeah. So, again, I know there are a lot of different gas tanks online, and I really want to be careful before I just put anything in there.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any recommendations, because, who knows what gauge they are and, how good they're galvanized, whatever.
Right. And I've done a couple of those replacement tanks in cars, and sometimes they don't fit perfectly. There's a little finagling that has to go on. I've done a half a dozen of them already, and but the more, it's like everything else, the more you spend on a tank, the better fit you're going to get.
That is true.
Yeah. Or you're go right to Bill Carberry, which original, like I did, have them blast it, gel coat it, and you're good to go. That's what I did for my own car.
Yeah, I got to actually get that old tank out of there and see how bad it is. But from what I understand, any time they went to put gas in, it hit the street.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want that.
All right, Bill. Well, send an email at info, please, and I'll pass it along. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Yeah, I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Chris, I just showed Bob a picture of that 283 in my car, which, of course, I detailed it out, Chevy Orange and whatnot. Yeah. Then, later on in 79, I bought a 68 GTO parts car.
Right.
And the engine supposedly had 30,000 miles on it. Pulled the engine and tranny out, took the engine, painted it Chevy Orange. That's the second picture I'm showing you. Detailed the valve covers with orange. Dropped it in the car, and of course, all my knucklehead friends said, "Oh, you still got that Chevy engine in the car?" Yeah. But it wasn't. It was a Pontiac engine now.
Yeah. Well, and, it looks great.
Well, that was when it was fresh. I mean, years later, it didn't look so great.
Oh, yeah.
There is something about Chevy Orange paint that I truly enjoy. It covers everything.
You're right.
There's some paint you can get out of a rattle can. Doesn't cover anything.
Ford Blue is pretty good, too. Ford Blue kind of covers.
Yeah, Ford Blue, Chevy Orange covers like you wouldn't believe. I love it. I wanted to paint like patio furniture with Chevy Orange.
Well, now I went in modern days. I follow Henry Ford's mantra, and of course, any color as long as it's black. So now, I know we disagree on this, but my engine is black, my accessories are black, and then I accent it with a little bit of chrome.
I see more and more of that as we open up hoods.
I have, too, and they're copying me is what it is. Same thing with my bike. I painted my motorcycle purple back in the 90s, and people, what are you riding, Barney's motorcycle? Oh, you fag, all sorts of derogatory stuff. I was like, screw off. It was Needix Grape Soda Purple.
Oh, my gosh.
So
I'm looking forward to painting an engine Oldsmobile Gold.
That's a good color.
That's a good color. Fusick Automotive right by you. They have that color.
Right.
That's a great color. I love that.
That's when I learned to play with a color palette because I said, I want to put a flame job on the bike. So what do you put on Needix Grape Soda Purple? It's called Aztec Gold, which is like a bright gold metallic. Nice. I said, now what do you pinstripe this with? Pinstripe it with black, I tell you. For me, and then I started seeing, of course, guys, then purple bikes were showing up. I'm like, So Tom from Rolling Thunder told me a secret. Around the same time, I did, Christian says rust because it blends nicely. That's good, Christian. That's right. I had made exhaust pipes, equal length high shotgun pipes, which weren't, they didn't exist in the catalog for my frame of motorcycle. But from building cars with parts that didn't exist and weren't supposed to fit, that didn't scare me. It's like, you make it fit. You engineer it. If you can't, okay, we'll do something else. Go to plan Z. So I did that, and Tom saw it. He goes, wow. And now he knows because he's a parts guy. He says, I know they aren't made for your bike. I'm like, no. And I told him what I did. He says, do yourself a favor. When people are going to ask you, don't tell anybody what you did and how you did it. He goes, because the next thing is, everybody's going to do it because it's a cool look. I was going into bike shows at the time, and guys would stop, hey, where'd you get those exhaust pipes? Oh, they were on the bike when I got it. It's like I just learned to lie. And I'll tell you, I watched it because I was doing a lot of shows at the time, a lot of cruise events. It took a longer amount of time than it did with the purple. But slowly, I saw one guy that did it. I'm like, uh-huh. And then after, he probably blabbed to his friends, look what I did. And then you started seeing it. And I said, okay.
Come on. It's the best form of flattery.
Well, right, you're right. But that's when I took them off and I went to a different exhaust. I said, now I got, you want to be different. You can't be different if everybody's doing what you do. So take them off, do something else.
I like the way Bob is being different by driving and appreciating a vehicle that no longer exists anymore.
Correct.
They're not building any more Oldsmobiles.
Correct.
So I do find that. My hat off to you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hat off to you,
now,
Bob.
I got
to
tell you something, Chris. Growing up, I've been good friends with Bob's younger brother since we're like 14, I think, and always heard about Bob, through friends and their older brothers, and he was always, he's got all these 442s. I'm like, wow, sounds like a cool guy. I'd like to meet him one day. And never did until like just a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Said, holy crap, we should have been friends for like 30 years.
He sends me a picture. Hysterical. Sends me a picture with him and about six guys.
Right.
And I knew every one of them.
Right.
And every one of them was my brother's friends.
Right.
Tommy Donato and Billy Harder and all those guys, and even John who passed away.
Well, we were at Lister Park in memory of John. It was like for his birthday.
Yes.
So that's what we were doing. Yeah, but it's just, this is how cars and the community can reunite and put people together. And I recommend that everybody goes out and does that. Meet the guy next door, like you did with the guy with that E-body Chrysler, Chris. Meet the guy up the block and, hey, nothing may come of it, but maybe something will. And then you have a friendship and, at least somebody else to shoot the breeze with.
And
it's true.
When you think of car community, I'll just say this because There's one guy on Long Island that is really been doing this for so long. He puts out the calendar. He does those gas tanks. He does those, you know, I just had two radiators done by him. He's in restorations. He's out there on the weekends. He promotes the car hobby. And of course, that's Kappa Radiator and Bill Carberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have Bill featured on our website, motormathradio.com. We have to get him back on the show. You know, I was there last year with a friend of mine to have his radiator done, and Bill is just so busy. Now Bill has people. You know, that's how busy he got. He's got people. So to get through to Bill is like, now you got to get through those people. And if you don't know the people, it's like, well, picture the bouncers at the door. Like, hey, I know Bill.
I know you don't.
Like, no, really, I do.
Well, those gatekeepers.
Right.
That's for sure. No, I believe it. I tell you, Bob, the only Oldsmobile I ever owned and the only engine I ever painted gold was I had an 80-98 four-door Regency that was a converted diesel.
Yeah. You know, those cars are coming up big time right now. People want those four-door 98s from 80 to 84, 85.
Those things are awesome. You know what I love about them the most? They have fender skirts.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all it takes. Yes. Why don't they put a fender skirt on the Sedan DeVille? No, they put it on the Oldsmobile, and it looks so much nicer.
It was such a great riding car. I had two of them in the day, and I loved them.
Right.
Yeah, they really were. They were totally... I wasn't a fan of them in 1980 when they first downsized that version and came out, but they totally won me over. I'm literally a fan, and every time I see one for sale, it's like my mouth salivates a little bit. It's like, I want another 98.
Right.
Because, I owned it for a little while. I bought it and sold it, just like you said with the 84 Cutlass, that you bought it, owned it, and sold it. And that's what I did with this one, and I'm sorry I did.
Well, you see a lot of guys with 70s and 80s now, and even 90s cars joining. We get a lot of guys that join the club a little younger, have some of these cars, and you see it out there. So it's cool. A great, great story.
I'll tell you what's not for sale, and that's the next 2 hours of this airtime, because Kim is coming in with Thunder Road, so we're going to have to get out of here in a minute. But we'll be back next week. We may have Carl Anthony as our guest and from Automoblog. We may speak with Carl, and we have a few other guests that are in the clouds that may drop in. We'll see. If Carl can't make it, we'll plug in with somebody else. But, Bob, I thank you for coming in with us and spending the time. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely.
And, Chris, so what do you say that John says that when John's not there, Brian says, and last week, even though Brian was there but John wasn't, I had Justin say.
Don't follow us home and hug the guy that owns the Oldsmobile.
That's right.
Thank you.
For Chris Switzer, Bob Jones, and the Olds Club, we will be back. Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, will be back next week. Stay tuned. Listen to Kim. I know you do, because you like her better than you like us, because we've had our fans tell us that. So we'll be back next week. So we'll see you. Bye.
See you, bye.
90.3 WHPC. We're out.